All right, good evening and welcome to the Allegiance Team Academy regular meeting of the Board of Directors. It's April 8th, 2018. Call the meeting order at 7:01 p.m. Meeting location is 13050 2nd Street, Chino, California, 91710. Instructions for presentations to the board by parents and citizens. Allegiance Team Academy Thrive Charter School, also known as ASA Thrive, is a direct-funded independent public charter school operated by the Allegiance Theme Academy Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation and governed by Allegiance Theme Academy Incorporated Corporate Board of Directors. The purpose of a public meeting of the board is to conduct the affairs of Allegiance Theme Academy in public. We are pleased that you are in attendance and hope you will visit these meetings often. Your participation assures us of continuing community interest in our school. Agendas are available to all audience members at the meeting. Note that the order of business on this agenda may be changed without prior notice. For more information on this agenda, please contact Allegiance at info@asathrive.org. Request to speak forms are available to all audience members who wish to speak on any agenda items or under the general category of public comments. Public comments are set aside for members of the audience to comment. However, due to public meeting laws, the board can only listen to your issue, not take action. The public is invited to address the board regarding items listed on the agenda. Comments on an agenda item will be accepted during consideration of that item or prior to consideration of the item in the case of a closed session item. Please turn in comment cards to the board secretary prior to the item you wish to speak on. These presentations are limited to 3 minutes. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and upon request, the Allegiance Theme Academy may furnish reasonable auxiliary aids and services to qualified individuals with disabilities. Individuals who require appropriate alternative modification of the agenda in order to participate in board meetings are invited to contact Allegiance Theme Academy. Roll call, Mrs. Odo.
Present.
Mrs. Rawl.
Present.
Ms. Choi.
Present.
Ms. Okamoto.
Present.
And Andrew Vesti, present. Public comments, items not on the agenda. No individual presentations shall be for more than 3 minutes. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Are there any comment cards? None. Approval of agenda for board meeting for April 8th, 2018. It's recommended the Board of Directors approve the agenda for a regular board meeting for April 8, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Sam, a second?
I'm second.
Second, Raquel. Roll call, Mrs. Odo?
Aye.
Mrs. Rawl?
Aye.
Ms. Choi?
Aye.
Ms. Okamoto?
Aye.
And Mr. Vesti, aye. Communications, comments from the Board of Directors. Sam, you're up first.
Excuse my voice. I'm a little under the weather. I'd like to thank Laura Vesti and Diana Urbina for all of your hard work during the lottery process and the enrollment process. It went so smoothly today that I didn't think that we were going to get out of there that early, but we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Vanessa, you're up.
I would like to echo what Sam said because I know it was a lot of work and I was very impressed today how smoothly it really went and it's exciting and I think we should all just be proud of the day we had today. It's a good step for Allegiance.
Melanie?
Same here. I think I really appreciate all the hard work during the lottery and all the work before it as well. And to those who helped, thank you so much.
Raquel.
Ditto. But seriously, I think echo everyone's sentiments, but I think we all know that it's taken a lot of work both behind and in front of the scenes to make this happen, and so different people shine on different days, but I hope we all continue to shine as a school as we continue to press forward. So I think that's what's important. So yeah.
Thank you. And thank you very much for your help on the lottery. But I want to, Friday we found out, sorry if I steal some of your thunder, about our being accepted to the Desert Mountain SELPA, which is huge. That we are the very first charter to be a first-year charter school to be accepted into a SELPA. Out of five schools that attempted to join, there was only two of us. So it's not like they just accept everybody. And I'll tell you what really made a difference was Dr. Cognetta, Callie Moreno, and Vanessa. That lady spoke for probably 5 minutes on how impressed she was with them during their interview process. And that our school had done something different than any other school had done. And most of the time, they just have an educator up there, and they go up there and let them know, hey, this is what our program, and those are the ones that didn't make it. And they said that, sorry, this school is not ready to be a part of our team. And what made us different is they had not only a board member, but a parent that will benefit from their services, and that really impressed them. And they knew Sebastian, and they like him. So, but just to say, if you guys could be in that room, that it was huge. Their whole board came out and said congratulations to us when we were done, because they know that they don't just take that decision lightly, made me know that we hired the right people, which is going to make this school great. So. Next up, the CEO's report.
One day we'll get there. Well, it just came about 90% of my report, so we'll take that. No, it wasn't 90%, it was like 2%. But I do want to echo that. That is an important sort of milestone reached. Desert Mountain is probably the most coveted SELPA for charters. I stand by our application, our interview. I think it was solid. But what separated us, just to echo Andrew's thoughts, was Vanessa's presence there, speaking on behalf of children and as a parent, and how important it was to find a partner in a SELPA with a similar mission and vision. I know the SELPA, but I didn't have the sort of strategic know-how that Vanessa would have been the difference maker, right? And so I think it's just telling of shared vision and mission between the two entities, which, you know, we didn't plan for that. It just was proof that we're aligned. So in other areas, I'm glad to kind of update through my CEO's report. The team of founding staff members, for the most part, you know, that's been coming together have been myself, Callie Moreno, and our general education staff. With now some special education educators joining the team as well. So we're kind of narrowing down on curriculum, and we'll have proposals for you shortly. We're looking at quotes for our curriculum so that we can present them to you, make our strong recommendations. In the area of mathematics, we have selected Eureka Math. We're awaiting a quote for the final price, and we'll present that to you. And just to give you a sense of how it works, in our budget, we're operating on about $220 per kid on curricular materials, a little bit, you know, give or take a few dollars. And so with that, we're deciding, well, what curriculum will we buy, hard copy materials, etc. Math is an area, of course, when we're looking at Eureka Math, we want to do that. Language arts is another. But then, as we also wrote into our startup grant, which I'll discuss shortly, we are going to be strategic about how technology will sort of augment or in some places replace kind of your traditional textbook. So as we're looking at, and we wrote in our grant for Chromebooks, not one for every student. We don't want to go to a one-to-one model just yet, but enough for the classroom for students to get frequent use, appropriate use of technology, and through that, digital textbooks, probably for science and history and so on. So our curriculum is going to be sort of a blended approach of hard copies, kind of what we're used to seeing, and digital copies, which digital resources, which are great because they're constantly updated, right? They're as recent as the latest sort of tweak and addition to them. So we are going to kind of getting zooming in closer to the final recommendations for curriculum, both, you know, in hard copy and in technology. In the last few weeks, We've had, some of us had the opportunity to meet with Charter Impact, our back office, and so they are now, we've now kind of migrated all of our accounts and payroll to what is available at this point to them, and they will support us in that process. They helped update the budget last time I presented to you, and you can expect another updated budget in the coming months as well. And tonight you also get a chance to look at medical benefits, right? We'll look at that together. We'll call Maria, who has given us some of the quotes and the different packages to look at. She'll kind of help us vet them and help us make an informed, or help you make an informed choice on those for staff. We also put before you today the bell schedule, just some rationale behind that, and I can speak to it later as well. But the bell schedule, after talking to with the founding team, one of the goals was obvious and stated on the document, which is adherence to the required minutes, and we have that. But the other thing that doesn't show up explicitly on that document is sort of the need to kind of balance homeschool or home, work, and life balance, right? And we believe that a 3 p.m. dismissal at the latest is going to help families kind of get that important time back, whether it's, you know, through other activities that the kids participate in, or just time, you know, at the end of the day with your family. Coupled with something we've not talked a lot about yet is our stance on homework. We do want to limit homework to being the most appropriate and case-by-case for students. So, you know, you can say goodbye to the days of the same homework packet going home for every kid, taking 3 hours of your time, you know, of our family's time in the evening. In the elementary grades, it just doesn't work. So there's little evidence to support that just that hours of homework is going to, you know, promote learning. So instead, what we're going to do is be real strategic and, again, supported by evidence, but it's also then an important kind of philosophical piece that supports our homeschool life balance that we want to help our families realize as being part of Allegiance. We spoke about the Desert Mountain Selpa, that. And then, yeah, lastly, what I said it in front of the large group today, but I can't state this enough. Laura and Diana's help in putting the lottery together. I think I probably, and maybe the spouses probably had a good view of what it took, but the hours that went into what we watched today, right, go so smoothly. I don't even think we can count them. The number of times we were on the phone or on a conference with SchoolMint, the back and forth we went with setting up the back end of the lottery system, the applications, the documents that families had to upload, and all of that. Today you kind of saw the tip of the iceberg, and it was a very smooth iceberg, but the work that went into it and to make sure that today went off as smooth as it did. We were on the phone, Diana and or Laura were contacting me till late, like last night, making sure everything was set up to a T, and they pulled it off miraculously. So one more time, I want to give you guys tons of kudos for your awesome work. And then lastly, on staffing, we have our candidates for our general ed positions, all but a position, assuming the final ones accept their offer. We will be fully staffed in general ed. And then we are down to our last special education teacher. We're looking at a couple candidates, and we'll have that. And then the team is going to help kind of hone in on the outside of the classroom positions that we still need to staff. But again, we're in a pretty healthy position there. And it's been tough. I think, you know, some of the, Deanna and so on, of others who have had an opportunity to kind of help vet some of the candidates. It's been a pretty strong applicant pool. It's a nice sort of challenge to have. Not ever feeling like we're, you know, trying to make some last bit, you know, a position fit. Because we're not getting the candidates we are. We have the opposite problem. We have strong candidates who are expressing interest in Allegiance. So it's kudos to everybody who's already got that reputation of us out there. So in a little bit, I'll speak to the grant as well, but that's my update for now. If there are any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Cognetta. Next up, I have scheduled for information the public charter school grant program application.
Oh, yeah. That's still me. There we go. Yeah. And I believe the grant is in front of you. So we, a few weeks ago, I presented to you a proposal for a grant writer, right? So once we got that set, Dr. Rieger and I met, and we went through, he attended the workshop for the grant a few weeks ago in Orange County. And so he came kind of prepared with that to show me what we needed to include and exclude from the grant, how it worked and so on. So we met for a few days in the last over the last few weeks to finalize the grant. For him to get prepared to write the grant, he really had to kind of dig through our MOU and our charter, right? And basically interview me to get a sense for like, well, where are your priorities? What are you going to do with this money should you get it? And so just some context for everybody, this is about a $500,000 startup grant, a federal grant. It's competitive, but and it's, although it's federal money, the states decide how to use that or distribute that money. So, and the deadline was this last Tuesday, our application had to be in Sacramento by 4 p.m. So I was tracking that on FedEx all day till they got there, and it made it. And it was there by 10 a.m., so, which was good. So, but the grant sort of has two phases to it. It has phase one, which is goes all the way up until the day before kids start school. So for us, phase one is really from now until August 26th. And that part of the grant can cover three sort of areas. Personnel, so you can pay for people to perform duties. You can pay for capital outlay, you can buy stuff, right? And then you have the third section, which is professional development. So all of that was influenced by the mission and vision of the charter, right? Our enrollment projections, what we believe the STEAM model to be to realize in the classrooms. So we built phase one around professional development, personnel, and capital outlay. The stuff we look to purchase overwhelmingly supports the STEAM side of things. So technology for every classroom, including Chromebooks, tablets. We looked at a 3D printer for the STEAM lab and a variety of other robotics pieces as well. All of that is, you know, is included in there as far as helping kind of put together the concrete pieces of our STEAM model. For every classroom we looked at, you know, technology as well, MacBooks for staff, Chromebooks for students, and a couple of tablets in each class as well. All with the vision of, you know, and tied to specific apps, software, and so on that are going to support our STEAM model. Then there's the professional development component to that, right? And it would be so we can avoid the pit. What we often see is schools get a grant, they buy a bunch of stuff, it sits there and collects dust for years and doesn't get used. So for each of the items that I just listed, they're tied specifically to the professional development plan. Whether it's a STEAM lab teacher or a classroom teacher, the professional development is going to help maximize those things that we hope to, you know, to purchase with the grant. Phase two, then, what goes away is really paying for people, right? And in phase two, which is really kind of the day kids show up to school in that next year, through that whole year, is ongoing professional development and still purchasing other materials as needed. So when you look at that piece, you'll see that there's ongoing professional development written into the grant. What we want to see is if we get this grant and we're able to provide training, coaching for our teachers, we don't want to just send them away for 2 days to a training. What we want to see is ongoing on-site support. So the PD, the only PD we'll bring in is going to be side-by-side with our staff in front of kids, right? Doing work in front of kids. And so, you know, we kind of zoom out. The focus of the grant is really going to zoom in and look at our STEAM model and support that. Again, tied to kind of the parameters and the criteria of the grant. With that, are there any questions or comments on the grant? Brooke.
Just let's assume we get this. What, we have a place for our infrastructure for, like, making sure we have the assessment and all the performance measures that we're actually hitting those things. I understand that we kind of outsource to get this written, but
yeah,
we're just going to make sure that it gets done and all the reporting that goes along with that.
Yeah, that would fall on me, right? Now, maybe I can delegate in some areas, but like purchases, right, could go to our director of business services and so on. But anything tied to this grant, we will, you know, be held accountable to spend as we said it would be in the grant, because that's what gets approved. So for the most part, that falls on me. And I would build that in. Diane and I have a deadline and compliance calendar, and so we'll add it to there. And every time components of this need to be looked at, we'll share them here. We'll take them, you know, send them to the state as well.
Yeah. I know part of it falls on the board also.
Yeah.
When I sat on another board, I got interviewed related to the grant to make sure that we were
the same. Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Cool. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, next up, items scheduled for discussion and action. Number one, the non-discrimination and employment policy, which was attached. You guys all had a chance to review it. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the non-discrimination employment policy. Is there any discussion? All right. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Vanessa. Second?
I'll second.
Second, Melanie. Roll call, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Motion passes 5-0. Number two, the 2018-2019 daily schedule, which everyone has that in their board packet. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the 2018-2019 daily schedule. Do you want to go over anything with that?
Just again, what I shared in the CEO's report. So we had our staff that's coming together to help give some input on what we wanted as priority in that. And the most important thing we kind of landed on was first the obvious of making sure we met the required number of minutes, instructional minutes for the year. That daily schedule does that. And then the second thing, which was a kind of growing priority amongst the team and then the community, is supporting the school day and home life balance, right? And so the later we keep kids, the more problematic it becomes for families. And at this age, you know, an 8 a.m. start with about a 3 p.m. at the end, at the latest dismissal, hopefully gives families that time back in the evenings, you know, to do the rest of their lives, right? Whatever they need to do with that time.
Thank you. Any discussion?
It says that pupils in grades 1 to 3 are at 50,400 limits,
right?
And then 4 through 8 is 54,000 limits. When I'm looking at the schedule, there's only a 10-minute difference between, well, let's say that 1 through 6, they're getting out at 250, right? Where is that different? How do you, I guess, for grades 4-3, yeah, how does that happen?
Actually, that for all grades, that it far exceeds
the minimum. So this is the minimum.
That's the minimum.
Okay.
This is the minimum for the state, right? This is not for ours. Okay. Do you have the breakdown of what it would equal for ours based on the calculator?
Cali has the calculator. I can give you that. But if each of the grade spans exceeds the minutes by, I think, a minimum of like 3 days. And, I'll have to look at what, in several days that schedule exceeds the number of instructional minutes required.
Because when it says, because we can't just straight multiply, because it's 177 instructional days, not necessarily accounting for or disaggregating minimum days versus full days. It's just days, right?
So, yeah, in 177 days, we have to fit those number of minutes, right? And then some of those are minimum days.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So this 177 is not disaggregated by minimum versus full day,
no,
so it's not a straight 177
right.
times. Okay.
Right, that's in the calculator that we use to make sure we weren't off, right? So.
But all of these you're saying exceed the minimum.
All grade levels exceed, yeah, the minimum number of minutes. And the 177 day also helps exceed the minimum 175 days, right? So that's another kind of cushion in the schedule, in the yearly calendar, as well as the daily schedule.
Thank you.
Yeah. I will say one of the things that we did here was sort of just to collapse the end of the dismissal other than kinder into one of them. So the board's open to discuss that and have us revise that. We're totally in support of that. I'm used to kind of having to stagger just because of dismissal, but I know with our campus it's not the greatest problem. So instead of different dismissal times, we wanted to go to 1 at 3 o'clock. Again, minutes is not an issue, but it could be convenient for our families instead of, you know, waiting for your fourth grader at 2:50 and then your seventh grader at 3 o'clock. And it's worth considering, yeah.
I'm assuming that we, with the kinder reports, we have days, it's going to be 1 morning and 1 afternoon, or
is that going to be 2 morning, just the morning time?
Yeah, the plan now is 2 morning kinders.
Okay.
And being real strategic about what that allows us to do, it frees up the kinder teachers to, the afternoon coach, run certain meetings like our SST meetings,
okay,
and a variety of other things as well. If we're having available, we'll do that.
I have a question. Any discussion given to having, like when we have these different ratings, like kindergarten, first, third, fourth through eighth, having like sixth, seventh, and eighth, or seventh and eighth have a different hour structure, just because it's kind of like middle school, if we're separate, like, and not grouping them all the way down to fourth. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So what's the rationale for not, I know this is how California breaks it down, but is there any thought from our end as we're trying to maximize things to think about within our K through eight, think about that middle school clientele?
Yeah, we didn't look at it to that level of detail, right? But it is worth it. I mean, if we have time for this, if you think it's something we need to take back and look at, we can look at a proposed schedule that does kind of accommodate middle school slightly more strategic for them, right, technical for them, versus upper elementary or whatever grade span you feel you want us to look at and break down differently. We broke it down based on the required things, right?
Any other discussion? Questions?
Is that something to discuss now? Like, if we want to consider, like Dr. Clement mentioned, as far as collapsing
into
as far as for be school wide, the same time dismissal.
To add to it, what we do want to start doing is those are the start and end time, right? We do want to start looking at then the schedule within the day, right? When kids take maybe a language and so on. So the clearer we are on the minutes, the easier it's going to be for us to do that. But if it's important for us to kind of look at other factors, we will, and we'll draft like a pseudo daily schedule until we have the start and end time.
Well, I'm just a fan of having the staggered, just because I'd rather get families get used to it now for when we grow, because most people at this school don't live in that community, and I don't want the problems with the traffic. especially right now, there's only 60 seventh and eighth graders, and there's a lot more K through six. So.
Then as far as having multiple children, you have to take in consideration you're going there to pick up your younger kids. Do you park?
But that's probably 3 to 4 people compared to 477 people. I know the problems that did occur in the past, and I want to address this issue because it's our problem, because we're coming to their neighborhood. And I'd rather inconvenience 3 of our families instead of the residents that live down there, because I saw the fights and the arguments that happen between parents of the school and someone's trash cans. And I don't want to deal with it because I don't want the bad rap. So I'd rather inconvenience 4 people at our school because they may have to wait, which most of them are probably going to hang around anyways. Just to make it easier for them. It's fine now at 480, it's not gonna be bad, but next year when we go to 660, it's gonna get worse, and I don't want it to get out of hand, because I don't want these people no matter what, you live by a school, there's gonna be traffic, but we need to do our part to not make it as so impactful on the residents.
Is that really going to make a difference, considering
10 minutes will make a difference.
The limited space there anyway.
10 minutes will make a big difference.
The neighborhood's going to still complain about it, I'm thinking, even on trash day. Because with trash day, we can have half the amount of students, and it's still going
to
be the same.
I totally understand, but we still have to take a proactive step to... we could have a half an hour difference, but we have to show that we're taking a step. Just because we're going to inconvenience 4 people because they have to pick up a 4th grader and an 8th grader, I would rather do that than, I'm telling you, we've had to deal with these problems in the past, and I want to get people in a routine now, year 1, than to wait year 5 where we have 900 kids and now you're having to change patterns of how people drop off and pick up their kids. So if we start now, year 1, then they know, okay, if my little Johnny's going into 7th grade next year and Susie's in 3rd, I'm going to have to wait 10 minutes. So it's either we do 10 minutes or, I would rather do like a 30-minute different, but I'm not going to go that crazy.
Well, I think we can also think about, you know, you get in a parking spot earlier, and then as a mom of multiples, that 10-minute stagger is already built in. I'm waiting 10 minutes for another kid to come out their class anyway, right. So I don't necessarily know that it would be that much of a difference.
And it does accommodate, I mean, this, I don't think I stress this enough, but it's a schedule kind of built for the future, right, for assuming the growth. So if we know we're going to have to do this in a few years when we're larger, it does make sense to kind of entertain it now, just kind of build the expectation in our community, build that habit. And I do believe 10 minutes does make a huge difference for traffic. So, yeah, you know, at the car level, at the parent level, a little bit of a headache of having to wait and so on. But when you kind of zoom out and look at the whole traffic pattern,
So in the future, are we just saying it's going to be, the 10-minute difference is going to be for just the 7th and 8th graders, or are we going to be staggering it throughout for each grade level?
Well, I think we would look at what the traffic patterns look like, and I know there's a history with that site in traffic, so we could use that as lessons, but this seemed to make the right now sense, where you had, you know, 400 or so kids on one distance, a little less than that, right? Earlier, but in the 300s, right, the students have dismissed at the same time, with obviously the kinders being earlier and then the 7th and 8th grade being late. I feel that's separated enough that hopefully we're not bottlenecking the neighborhood traffic at that one dismissal.
And you said, so for the next iteration of this, like the next step you're going to is then to figure out when those academic things start. I'm just thinking of, like, the research is talking about starting later is better, so we can kind of ease them into science. I'm not giving them a science test at 8 o'clock, but maybe, like, some of that. Okay.
Yeah, well, we do want the opening part of the day to be more of a social-emotional piece, right? Gotcha. So not that that's any easier to wrap your head around, but no one's testing it. So we can kind of have higher, lower stakes content or focus in the morning.
Sorry, just to go back to that. So say a parent who has multiple children at the school. They're going to be waiting there that extra 10 minutes anyway, so that parking space is still going to be taken, correct?
Yeah,
so
but
is that going to make a difference?
But it's a small amount of a group of parents that are waiting, right? We're looking at the bigger picture. We're looking at the bigger picture, right? We're looking at hundreds of families versus maybe, you know, 2%, right? That are going to wait versus, you know, hundreds of families that are already gone, done picking up their kids. That 10 minutes, I think, is a big enough window that you're going to see less traffic. I like this number.
And there's nothing that prevents us, if this is a flop, next year switching to something else, but I think...
Not you.
And right.
Month one, this did not work.
Right, so but I'm just saying,
we just changed
to
it.
Your point where we've seen the chaos that can ensue, this is a new way to try to be inventive as a STEAM academy, to try to think outside the box and be innovative and see if that works. And if it's not, just like anything else at our school that doesn't work, we want it to work,
right.
So we'll adapt.
That's the nice thing about having local control. If it flops, we come back here and say, hey, this didn't work. What do you think about this new one? Or give us some thoughts, and we change on the fly, right? Certain areas you can do that.
I know 10 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but I'll give you an example. Like the Fontana Speedway, that holds like 60,000 people. We clear them out in 2 hours. So that, I mean, you do that, you can, 10 minutes, you go far. You figure you're driving in your car, you know, in 10 minutes, you could drive 10 miles when you're on the freeway. So it's, you'll be able to get a lot of people out of there quick. I just want to try to help out these residents. So.
Can I just ask one more thing about, this is what you've done now. How do you do it as far as your cutoff time, you know, as far as the supervision after school piece? Like, do you say, okay, like, you know, K through 6 or not, you know, 1st through 6, you have till this time, and then they go to, you know, then you're late as far as picking up your child. You know what I mean? Do you separate that or just say school-wide if you don't pick up your child by 3, whatever?
Yeah, we'll have to work that process in, right? If they're not part of the school program, right, we need to provide supervision until they're picked up, designated area, staff, all that good stuff.
Do you foresee that being like the whole school, or would you separate it? Like, I don't know how you do it now. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the first group would be cut off sooner. You know what I mean?
Right, like, from that. Yeah, it's staggered as well, currently, that's how I know it. But
oh, okay.
We look at what's best for us.
or even how older siblings, where do they wait for the, if you say if you had a seventh or eighth grade, where can they wait for their, first grader, second grader?
Right. Yeah, top them, we have a space, right? Where we have the space and just provide supervision for that, that downtime, right? That transition time.
I mean, as a parent, I'll just make an example. So if my child's in the fourth grade, obviously she needs to be picked by 2:50. But who's to say, okay, I got till 3 o'clock because 7th and 8th grade, so you just hang out with them until I can pick her up. Is that going to be strictly, between grades K through or 1 through 6, you have got to be.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of experience with that, right? We do have staggered times. And luckily, it's over the years, it's been a very few number of folks sort of taking advantage of that scenario. And normally we're just addressing them face-to-face, telling them why it's problematic for us and doesn't work, why they need to kind of, meet our pickup times. Yeah, it's interesting, people have gone to sort of what they feel are punitive measures, for that, but those don't work. Just talk to people face-to-face, tell them why it doesn't work, have us watch your kid, we're not the after-school program, there is one and you need it. So I'm comfortable just addressing those face-on. I don't think it's going to be a large number of people. It hasn't been in my experience. You just need to talk to them and address it face-to-face.
I think if we address it now at the beginning and say pickup time is at 2:50, I'm sure, we have to address it now. Make sure that they understand it's 2:50, not 3 o'clock.
And this, what time does that mean? I guess maybe it's too early for that, but the campus opens for drop-off. If we start at 8, is that a 7:30, 7:45?
Well, this is where I want to know kind of historically what works, right? What's adequate. So right now, on my current campus at Davidson, some of you visited, we're on the side of a mountain. It's weird. It's not the easiest place to get in and out of. And so we need 25 minutes. That's what we need for drop-off. But it's also not flat, very accessible, and so on. So I'm going to ask for what makes sense so we're not causing problems, in the neighborhood. We can provide supervision, all those things make sense. So it's short, but I don't have an answer just yet, but I welcome input on what will work. Because that will affect staff's arrival time and that good stuff, right?
Anything else? So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the 2018-2019 daily schedule?
I'll make a motion.
Sam made a motion. A second?
Second.
Second, Raquel. Roll call, Mrs. Odo?
Aye.
Ms. Rawl?
Aye.
Ms. Choi?
Aye.
Ms. Okamoto?
Aye.
And Mr. Vesti, aye. Motion passes 5-0. Medical benefits for eligible employees. You guys saw that lengthy group of options there. It is recommended the Board of Directors evaluate and determine which medical benefits will be available to eligible employees. And we have Maria.
Maria Kumsel.
Kumsel.
Hey there. How are you? Good. I'm going to put you on speakerphone. We're at the agenda item for medical benefits, okay? And I'll hand it over to Andrew to facilitate. Thank you. All right, Maria, you're on speakerphone. Here's Andrew and the rest of the board.
All right, you're up.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for inviting me, first of all. I don't know if Sebastian's told you that I actually have worked with Avis since its inception many, many, many years ago, and I've had the honor of actually just, working with them, and it's been a great group, and I'm looking forward to hopefully working with you folks also and ensuring that you've got the right plans that actually fit your employees' needs. So when I talked to Sebastian was I sent him a quite a few different proposals, and for the Chino area, it appears that the best carriers would be either plans with Kaiser or plans with Blue Shield. And what I was talking to Sebastian and recommending to him was that ideally you'd want to start the plan, get it written and into the carriers prior to you hiring most of your staff in August. What I was was hoping to do was hopefully get two employees on payroll starting May, no later than mid-May, and that would ensure that we'd be able to write the plan starting August 1st. Hence, anyone who's hired after all the teachers and such around the 13th or so would be available to be on the plan as of September 1st. So that's my recommendation. I did go ahead and propose, I did send you the plans that I recommend from the different carriers. Those plans can be actually tweaked all the way until the very end. If you see something that you want to offer differently, you can. The rates are all basically age mandated, so it really depends on, the rate will depend on the plan that the employee chooses and their actual age. And if they have dependents that they would like to go ahead and ask, that will also, the rate will be based also on the dependent age. Do you have any questions so far?
So the Kaiser and did you say the Blue Shield or Blue Cross? I'm sorry, I always switch them up. Are they mutually exclusive? Like we couldn't offer both options or either or?
Well, the problem you're going to have, you can offer both. The issue you have is this, is that both companies are going to require a certain amount of employees to be in each one of the, in each one. And if you offer them at the very beginning together, there's two issues you're going to run into. First of all, is you might not hit the minimum participation for that carrier to enroll to get that plan going. And secondly, you're going to have a layer of complexity because now you're going to have two invoices from two different carriers, and it's going to be confusing for the actual employee also, so the enrollment process will be much more difficult. What you could do is go out the first year with one of the two carriers, and then, you know, once you have an established census, then you could add the second carrier on down the road.
Thank you.
You know, you run, the issue, you just run quite a few different risks by doing that. So my suggestion was that go with one or the other carrier to just start it and get it going. And because what's going to happen is you're going to offer it to, let's say you offer it to 30 or 40 employees. There's no guarantee that all of those employees will come on to the group. It's possible you might have people who have insurance plans, you know, other options to them that might be less expensive or that might be different than what we've got available. So by having, you know, these layers of complexity, it's going to be much more difficult to write at the very beginning.
Do you know what the minimums are per insurance plan that for them to accept
yes,
us?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But the problem is, I do, and I can tell you what they are, but the real issue you have, again, is that when you go ahead and go out and offer all these plans to all these employees, what's going to happen is you won't be able to, for example, say how many go into one plan and some how many go into the other plan. In other words, when you offer it to the employees, you can't say, well, you know, we need so many here and so many there.
Well, I'm just, the only reason why I'm asking is we have, pretty much a slot for every teacher we're going to hire, a name attached to that. They're not necessarily hired, but they have expressed their interest in employment. So, I mean, what if we were able to just pull these people and say, hey, are you going to take insurance? And if you do, out of the two, which two would you choose?
Okay, you could do that. What you could do is you could pull them and you could come out and do that at the very beginning. But you would have to actually, you'd almost have to go ahead and offer them the whole entire thing. So you'd say, okay, you know, here's the options, here's the rate. Because that would be fair, right? Here's options, here's the rate. What do you think you're leaning to? But the problem with you have with that is you might have, like, you might set up an expectation that one of the carriers would show up, and if it turns out you do all this census at the very beginning, it turns out that doesn't work out in your direction, that might be kind of, it might be difficult to explain is what I'm trying to say. But I'm more than happy to more than happy to package something for you, and then you could actually go out to them and say, you know, hey, we're thinking about these two different carriers. We kind of want to get a survey about where you think you might want to go. Can you fill out the survey? And then what happens is they could send it back to me. I can compile it, and I can give you guys the results from it if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, I think that would be the best because I think, I mean, well, that's what I would prefer.
Okay.
But there's five of us. just because
sure.
Kaiser's so big out here in San Bernardino County.
Yeah, no problem. No, and I have no issue with that. If you want to go ahead and do that, what we can do is we can say, I can do a package for you. I can do, you know, like electronic package and say, okay, here's the plans that we're going to go out with. Can you please fill out the survey? You know, tell me, hey, are you going to take insurance or not? Right? And if you're not taking insurance, how are you covered? Because there's only so many what they call qualified waivers we could have. So make sure that, you know, we document those. These are people who either are covered through another insurance plan or covered through an individual plan. And then the second thing we can do is say, okay, you know, here's the two different carriers we're looking at. Which one would you like? Here's some rates, right? And then they could say, if they're all going to come back and say, hey, you've got like, you know, let's say you have 70% Kaiser and you have 30% Blue Shield, well, then you're going to be a Kaiser group because Blue Shield, you know, the participation level is going to be too low. So I have no problem with that. We could do that.
But Maria,
I can get something together for you, like for Tuesday, you can send it out to everybody.
That'd be great. I think the prior question though of the minimums is still going to be relevant because we're smaller starting this first year. And so if there's a carrier that, for instance, says you have to have 50 staff members and we don't have 50 staff members, we can exclude them immediately.
Okay, so the participation is based on a percentage. It's not based on bodies.
Okay. I think that's what we need to clarify. Thank you.
So the participation is based on percentages. So, and it's actually percentages of people who are enrolled. So as an example, let's say you have 30 employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 30, to make the math simple, let's say that you really only get 10 people who really take insurance. Because the other 20 are covered because their spouse works for another bigger company or whatever different reason, right? Or they... You know, there's lots of different reasons why they can have that. And you have 10 left over. Well, then really the census is going to be off those 10. Are those 10, are they swayed towards Kaiser or are they swayed towards Blue Shield? And, you know, and then that's really kind of like, and then you just make a decision on which way you go because then the participation is going to be based on those 10.
Great.
I have a question, Maria. As far as offering, though, from what I understand, isn't it easier to offer a non-Kaiser for the first year because it sounds like Kaiser doesn't have a minimum for adding it on to the second year? So say Blue Shield has a minimum of 50%. So if we were to try to add that one instead our second year, wouldn't that be more difficult to do, especially for anyone wanting a PPO because Kaiser's not a PPO?
The PPO, it's the carrier who has the PPO that has the bigger issue with the participation rate. But what I'm going to tell you though really is that if, like you said, Kaiser's such a big player in that area, if you believe that's where most of your employees are going to go, you really should just be more trying to simplify it as much as possible because the last thing you want to do is create these layers of a complexity on for the people who do payroll, the people who are having to kind of like, the paperwork scenario and everything that goes with it. But ideally, you could go Blue Shield first and then add Kaiser later. You know, whichever way you want to do it, I just want to make sure that when you go out, you know, you've got a strong package that will give people lots of different options. And when you look at the rate for the benefit for the plans that they're getting, both Kaiser and Blue Shield offer very strong rates. Anthem, unfortunately, is priced at a premium in your in your area, so it wouldn't be a good option.
Another question, Maria. So when you talked about wanting to get folks in place and the plans in place earlier, does that relegate us to any particular open enrollment period for the subsequent year?
Yes, the enrollment. So for example, the reason I want to do it in August is twofold. When you go, let's say, I'm assuming by August 1st, you will have payroll for at least two people, so May and June, right? So what's going to happen is your group will be automatically accepted as long as you have one employee who's going to take the plan.
And when you say employee, full-time employee, correct?
Yes. So let's say you have two and you've got them started August 1st, the plan is up and going. So it's really basically everyone you add after that, they won't be as strict as if you try to come in with 30 applications for September 1st. Because what's going to happen is those 30 applications, they're going to scrutinize, okay, what kind of other coverage do they have? Is it documented? There's a lot of different things that are going to have to go. But if you come in with a group that's very small at the very beginning, you're guaranteed issue anyway. So, and you're going to get the same plan selection anyway. It's just much easier to get it written, approved, and ready to go. So that when you start hiring everybody, let's say they start working on August 13th or something of that nature, well, September 1st will be really easy. It'll just be getting everyone's paperwork done and having the cards issued and such like that. It'll be much easier. If you go all the way to September 1st, it's going to be more difficult.
Right. I guess I'm not asking year one. I'm asking year two. Does us entering in, you know, earlier, like August 1st, does that make it so that year two we have to enter in earlier, when sometimes if there's a shift in employment, then people might not be on board? You know, I'm just trying to figure out at what point
right.
that would be.
Okay, so what happens is when you write the policy, it's written for whatever that month is. So, for example, if you come in as August 1st, the following renewal will be August 1st of the following year. Now, that being said, then what you can do, you can request a change to another month. And most carriers will give you an option to go to another month. For example, you could say, look, we started in August, but we want September, right, for the following year. The other option could be, you don't know, the following year, you know, the rates for one carrier could be significantly different than the other one, and then what you would do is you would write a new policy for the following, you know, you would literally change the open enrollment. It's based on when the plan is actually active and going.
Okay.
So it would be, if you go through my schedule, it would be August 1st, but if you wanted September 1st, it would be September 1st.
Thank you.
And anyone who had a change in employment, basically what would happen to them is that they would have the opportunity to have COBRA for that month. So, for example, they work for you for 1 year, and the following year they go to another school district or something of that nature. That particular employee would have an option to be on your health insurance for that month or whatever, how long it is, until they get your insurance through another carrier or an individual plan.
Any other questions? All righty. Thanks, Maria. We'll have Sebastian contact you and let you know what we decide.
Yes, and it's basically, it's really, to be honest with you, it's up to the board what they want to offer, depending on the carrier, depending on the plan. I know that I have been told that you're going to do about a $700 or so stipend for the employee to take the plans that they wish. That's a good number. I would recommend that that whatever number you stick to is that you do not offer that stipend to someone who does not take the health insurance plan.
Okay.
Because that will have an adverse it will actually create a lot of issues for you as far as participation down the road.
Got it.
So, and then lastly, I would suggest that you break up the configuration so that you do so much for an employee and so much for dependents. An example would be, this is just a number, we can work on the number that you wish, but it could be $500 for the employee and then $200 for any dependents they wanted to enroll. And that number seems to work very well for a lot of people. You can also do percentages, but that always is very difficult for people to figure out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, or if you need anything, let me know. I'd be more than happy to answer them. And if you want to designate someone in the board who just wants to contact me directly, I'd be more than happy to do that. Once the plan is up and going, once it's written, and basically every employee who comes on to the school, they would contact me directly. I would call them or have a conference call or a video session with them to help them ensure them that the plan that they select is the plan that they would like to have. I also, if they need information on providers, I answer questions all the time about issues of claims or any kind of servicing that would come directly to me and that I would help them out. In particular, the enrollment form always trips people up. So I have people calling me all the time for those kinds of things. But that's what I think helps a lot, the process, and if there's billing issues, you know, normally the schools just get a hold of me and we work through them and anything that you need. So if you need anything else, let me know. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you a nice Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
So one thing you can direct, if you want to table it, direct staff, right? To put that survey together with Maria, we can do it and get, I think we would get data from close to 18, 20 people, right? And that could help inform what we do.
I think it would be advantageous only because we have such a small, we're never going to have this small
right.
of a staff that
right.
we can just really give something people want.
Yeah.
I mean.
So are we going to offer all three to the,
from what I understand, it was
two.
No, I think Kaiser or Blue Shield.
We get to make that decision.
Yeah, that would be a decision. We can make it together. You can make it. She did discourage Anthem, right?
Yeah, not
Blue
Cross.
Great fear, yeah.
I mean, based on what we're seeing here, I'm okay with Kaiser and Blue Shield.
Yeah. So what we could do is put together, if you direct me to put together, and I can do it with Maria just so I'm not missing anything, to all our prospective kind of, our folks who told us the third shift coming on, right? Whether they would take our benefits, and then the options, and then we would get that data back on what they would take, and that would help us make the decision on, you know, at this level.
And in that survey, would you parse out the 500, 200 options, like those different options you were talking about, like 500 for the employee, 200 for dependent? Could we see some of those scenarios as well in that, or is that
past employee input on that?
No, no. I guess when she's making the package,
yeah.
right? The mock-ups, the pseudo
yeah.
packages that people are going to look at, is there a way to kind of show them that? Because I think they would be interested in knowing.
I guess probably just ask her what the industry norm is.
Because
yeah.
I think that might be the 500, 200, but if there's another option, I don't know.
So here
you're asking for it to be presented as to these prospective employees as something to vote on, right?
No. So what we could do here, make it real easy, real quick. I'll make a motion that we direct you to work with Maria for Kaiser and Blue Shield to create packages for the employees and break the breakdown between employee and dependent based on the industry norm, and then create a survey to our prospective employees whether or not they're going to take insurance and who, because most people are, I'm sure, going to. Just pick whoever they have now. And then hopefully we can have that, not the 22nd board meeting, but that first board meeting in May, so we can make a decision on picking a package.
Yeah. I just, from previous conversation, I'm concerned because from what it was presented before, Blue Shield was the one that sounded like she was pushing more the first time because it was going to be easier to get the first year opposed to the second year because Blue Shield will require the 50% participation rate. Kaiser didn't. So if we were to do Kaiser first, I would be concerned about the subsequent years trying to add that on if we didn't have the necessary participation rate and we had employees that really wanted a Blue Shield plan. As opposed to vice versa.
Well, that's why I'm asking just to make the packages. We're not making a decision on who we're picking.
Right, but what if Kaiser were to be the favorable one in the survey and then we end up, you know, in that predicament next year because we left it up to the survey.
Well, I think once we pick, then we're pretty going to be, people are going to know what we're offering. You know what I mean? I understand how she said Blue Shield was her choice. The problem is out in San Bernardino County, Kaiser's so huge. Most people have Kaiser out here. And I don't know if we're, like, she usually works with LA-based schools or companies, but I just know it's most people have it, so I don't want to just ixnay it now. I'd rather just get the packages, and then we still make the decision. If she's saying no, Kaiser or Blue Shield, if you guys don't pick it, then you guys need to offer it or something, but I'd rather see the packages than to just jump and say, pick Blue Shield.
Right, I'm just trying to think long.
Because right now I just see a big table with a bunch of prices and it would, I couldn't make a decision on who to pick somebody.
So I like this, what you're proposing. My only question was, she mentioned something about May 1st, and so if we do that timeline, does that prevent us from hitting on track with what she was talking about, to have those things ready by August 1st? Because she said something about May 1st. I didn't catch the whole thing, but
having somebody in.
Well, then we can have it ready
for
it's
just about the employees.
April 22nd.
Well, no, I guess if it's, Sam said it's just employees, we've got people, right?
Full-time employees.
Well, we could do it April 22nd.
They didn't start.
No, we have to hire two employees. It doesn't have to be them. It could be any two employees that... And we've already kind of discussed on what would be best. Because that threw a wrench in the whole thing also.
So do we need a second for our discussion? But.
Yeah, so let me rephrase it. Because we have a new date, so I'll make a motion for Dr. Cognetta to work with Maria to build packages for Kaiser and Blue Shield. With the breakdown for the employee and any dependents, and also to survey the prospective employees. If we could have that April 22nd so we can decide. But if they could also to answer those questions like what Vanessa asked about that, like if Blue Shield's like now or never, then I mean, I don't know how I've done open enrollment the last 18 years in my job, and it's not that hard, so. So, do I have a second?
Second.
So, roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Next up, adjournment. It is recommended the Board of Directors adjourn the regular board meeting for April 8th, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Sam. Second?
I'll second.
Second, Melanie. Roll call vote. Samantha Otto?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. The meeting is adjourned at 8:05 p.m.